So if you're an adult and you wandered in here today and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what have I come into? This is Kids Sunday, all right? So Kids Sunday is one of those Sundays I personally love. And if you're an adult, well, we've been studying the book of Daniel. So we're in week four. We just finished week four of the book of Daniel. So for today, we're going to set Daniel to the side. All right, we'll be back. We'll finish him in November. But today, we're going to actually finish off this Kingdom Kids series that we started all the way back in January. We have four Fifth Sundays during the year, and these are our Kids Sundays. And so this is a sermon series that was designed for the kids. Because as kids, a lot of times, you know what you feel like? You don't matter. You know, the adults boss you around. They tell you what time you have to go to bed, what time dinner is going to be. You can't drive. You don't have a job. You're just kind of where you are. So a lot of times you don't feel like you matter very much. But what I'm here to tell you is you matter greatly to God. So we set out on a quest to find four kids in the kingdom of God that made a difference in their world. So I have done this for the past few times I've done these sermons. So let me explain to you how this game works if you haven't been here before. We're about to play a game. I'm going to ask a question related to the last three kids that we talked about. And adults, do not blurt out the answer. Kids, do not blurt out your answer. Raise your hand. I will call on somebody. If I can get a kid to answer the question, you get the box of treats. Today we have pumpkin brownies. If you don't answer the question correctly, then the sneaky adults can come and steal your treat, because all they have to do is they have to answer the question, and then the adult gets your treat. So you got how it goes, right? So we've talked about three kids. So the first thing I want to know is what person under the age of 18, okay, we'll set kid a little higher here, can tell me the name of the first kid that we talked about. Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Going once. Going once. Colin. What's the name? Nope, not David. All right, anybody else? Going once, going once. Oh, Benjamin? Josiah is the answer. Here we go. Let me find that one person. Maybe you can lay your treats right there. All right, so Josiah, we found this kid living in 2 Kings chapter 22. And well, he, at the age of 8, he became king. Wouldn't that be cool? The adults don't think that's so cool, folks. Okay, so at 8 years old, then he is king, not of his house. He is king of his country. Okay, and well, he was a godly king, despite the fact that he didn't have any godly role models. His mom and dad weren't really godly people, and so he just kind of had to go. So he figured this out all on his own. And well, he returned his entire nation to understanding godly principles. So when he became king, he brought God with him into the throne room. And then, well, the thing is that he did this by committing himself to reading and obeying God's word. Okay, so Benjamin, you're out the game. You have your box of treats up here. Nobody take his box of treats. That would be serious business. All right, so here's the deal. Second kid. Who can tell me who the second kid we studied was? Going once? Ava? Say it louder. That is correct. Samuel is his name. Give her a hand. All right, so his name is Samuel. And Samuel, well, he was a weird and unusual kid because he lived not in a house. He lived in a temple. Okay? And when he lived in the temple, it was in the middle of the night he received a calling from God. So God showed up in the middle of the night and said, "Hey, Samuel, 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 I got to talk to you." And it took him a little while to figure out who it was, but he eventually figured it out. And well, Samuel was to be the next priest and a prophet for God. And he was actually the last judge of Israel before things went on his way. And all of this happened because Samuel was willing to hear God's call and accept the calling. All right, so that's one and two. I hate to tell you this, the other girl, she's the only girl in the pack that we picked. She doesn't have a name, but I'd like to know, who can tell me what her occupation was? Ooh, not a name. What did she do for a living? Going once. Come on, kids. You're about to lose your treat. Going twice. All right, is there an adult that can tell me what did she do for a living? Linda. She was a slave. There we go. I'm sorry, kids. She stole your treat. But maybe she'll care with you later. All right. So, we do not know anything about this young lady except that she was a slave girl. And, well, her contribution to God's kingdom may seem itty-bitty because really it's only about two sentences long. It says, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. And that's all she said. That's her entire thing. But as we learn from that story, it set off a series of events that, guess what? It changed a man's life forever. And that man was a commander, and due to his graciousness, eventually that would change the nation of Israel. Still think kids don't matter? These kids changed their world. And we're not done, because there is absolutely a fourth child that we want to talk about. And our fourth kid, like the slave girl, we don't know his name. Sadly enough, you know what? We don't know his occupation. We don't know what he did. Unlike the slave girl, he doesn't even get a line. He doesn't even get to say anything. So this child has nothing to say. However, this child is behind the only miracle of Jesus that is mentioned in all four of what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the Bible. He's the only one that's mentioned. And you know what? We're going to focus on John chapter 6. If you want to grab a copy of the Bible and turn that way, that's where we're going to be. And usually when we talk about this kid's story, he's not even the focus of his own story. When we talk about this story, we talk about 5,000 men plus women and children that were fed. It's not about the kid. And you know what? We talk about the meal that was provided. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, right? We know this story, right? We talk about the miracle. Verses 11 through 12 say, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. And when they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. So we're familiar with the miracle, and you know what? We're even familiar with the leftovers. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets of pieces with 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I always wonder, they never tell us who got the leftovers. You think the kid at least got to take all the leftovers home, or did the adults come and take them like the treat was taken? I always wonder who got the leftover. But you know what? The funny thing is, when you read this young man's story, and this story is mentioned in all four scriptures, the thing is that he only gets mentioned once. John 6 is the only one that even mentions him. And in John chapter 6, there's 44 verses that tell the story, and guess what? He only gets one verse. They only give the hero of the story one small verse. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go amongst so many? So they're not even giving the young man credit. He brings forth what he's got, and you know what? They look at him and say, that's nice, but Andrew's question. Young man, I appreciate your effort, but have you looked around? There's 5,000 people here, plus all the women and children. What on earth do you think your little 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are going to do with all of those people? But you know, there's some very powerful lessons, kids, that we can learn. And by the way, adults, you're welcome to come along for the voyage today. But I really want the kids to see there's some powerful lessons for you. Matter of fact, let me give you 3 quick ones. Okay, here they are. Number one, he was there. What did they say? Your best ability is your availability. Think about how this story would be different with no little boy. I mean, I guess Jesus could have picked up some rocks off the ground. And he could have turned those into bread, because we know he has that power, because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. I guess Jesus, they were right there by the water. And so I guess Jesus could have looked at his fishing buddies and said, tell you what, you go grab a net, you throw the net out into the river, and we'll fill the net, and you can drag the net, and then we'll feed all the people that way. There was a way Jesus could do this, but that's not how he chose to do that. Jesus could have absolutely managed to provide lunch. But think about what a powerful lesson we would miss if it wasn't for this little boy. Now, the verse said they found this little boy in his lunch, but funny how they never mentioned the parents. Where were mom and dad? I mean, now, we always think of the little boy as there alone, But maybe his parents were there. I don't know. But here's the important thing, is that he did not rely on his parents to do the right thing. He said, I want to follow Jesus. Kids, this is probably one of the most important decisions you will ever make. At some point in your life, your parents are going to stop dragging you to church. It's going to happen. At some point in your life, it's going to be your choice as to whether you show up or not, whether you are available or not. It's going to happen. So what I want you to see is it was very important that this little boy was actually there. Because without him, this story would be erased from all four Gospels. And not only was he there, guess what? He was prepared. I mean, it's not a big meal. All he had was five little loaves and two little fish. And I sometimes wonder, how did this look when he was coming out to see Jesus? You know, he hears Jesus coming to town. It's kind of like the big movie's coming. The big show is coming. So he's running out the house, and he's going to go here, and he's going to go see Jesus. And I bet that I know my kids. I know how kids work. He's running out the house, and Mom's like, whoa, 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 wait. You forgot your lunch. And I'm sure there was a, oh, Mom, you want me to carry that around all day long? It's just going to get in the way. But he shows up, and he's got his lunch, and here he is. And you must have been wondering what the other people were thinking, because to my knowledge, Jesus never preached by a clock. But nobody else managed to bring food. They just assumed they were coming for a sermon and go home. Jesus sometimes preached all day long. I think I would have packed a lunch, maybe a breakfast, maybe a dinner, maybe a sleeping bag. But these people just show up with themselves, except for this young man. And that's the important thing. He came ready. He was prepared to stay there all day long. He had brought his dinner with him because he knew this is important. I would rather be here than anywhere else. And there he was. And I began to think, a lot of times we come to church and we come to Jesus, and do we come ready? Usually we know how it works, right? It's a strain to get out the house. The kids are trying to find their shoes. They're trying to find their clothes. You tell them to go brush their teeth for the fifth time. Okay, breakfast wasn't ready on time. Somebody's clock didn't go off at the right time. And we come in here, and we're all in a hurry and a rush. And then we do our service, and we run back out, and we're all in a hurry and rush. And I guess the question is, how much time do we take packing ourselves up to be ready to come into God's presence? Kudos to this little boy. Not only did he come, he came prepared and ready to meet Jesus. And then we have the moment. This little boy, he was willing. Do I believe there was any other food in the crowd that day? Honestly, I think there was. There were way too many moms on that hillside for them not to bring any food at all. I mean, this is the culture designed and filled around food. And so I think that probably some other people probably had their baskets. But as they looked around at the 5,000 people, and they're like, no, I got nothing for you. They probably brought out the blankets, and they covered them up, and they're like, oh, they're hiding their food. And here is this one little boy. Maybe this was his portion of the family meal that they had given him. We don't know where he got the food from. But here is what I do know. He wouldn't have been the first choice. He wouldn't have been the person that they're like, hey, there's food. Let's go ask the little boy. As a matter of fact, think about how easily this little boy could have just taken his small little lunch and disappeared into the crowd. And they would have never found him. He could have had his lunch all to himself. But that's not what he did. I mean, it says Andrew brought him, but I got a sneaking suspicion when the call went out for food, this little boy stepped forward. He stepped forward and he said, I've got a lunch with me. Isn't that amazing? How many times do we need to see this? I mean, you know what the little boy could have done? He could have said, I got a lunch with me. I tell you what, I got five and two, so I'll tell you what. I'll keep one loaf for me. I'll keep one fish for me. And you can have the leftovers. That's not what he did. He handed it all over. He said, you can have mine. He was willing. And this is the faith that Jesus has been looking for. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 said, he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus looked at little children. He did not see them as unimportant or insignificant. He saw them as the examples of how we were supposed to live. Willing to come prepared, and willing to share. He offered Jesus his lunch. He just said simply to Jesus, here, Jesus, you take mine. That's incredible. I don't think an adult would ever do this. This is why kids are important, because kids can be very, very selfless in the moment of a need. So adults, take a lesson. And how about we answer a very important question? Does God want my lunch money? Lunch money is important to me, okay? When we were kids, you never wanted anybody to steal your lunch money, and you never wanted to go to school without your lunch money. They didn't have the things called free lunch when I was a kid. If you didn't bring your lunch money, you know what you did? You went hungry, okay? So you never forgot. So the question is does God want my lunch money? And you know, a lot of times we think, I want to be big, I want to be exciting, I want to be like David and kill giants, right? A lot of times we think we want to be big and we want to be like Moses and we want to part seas. A lot of times, me personally, I want to be big. I want to preach powerful like Paul does. Sometimes I want to say I want to be just like Jesus. But when it comes to these big things that I want to do, Jesus wants to know, what about the little things? Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be also be dishonest with little, with very much, because Jesus is all about the little things, the small contributions that we see people make. He doesn't always look for the big things. As a matter of fact, he told stories about a little bit of yeast that can leaven an entire lump. He told a story about a little bitty mustard seed that could grow a great big bush. He told a story about a little bit of faith that could move a mountain. Because to Jesus, our little things matter. Our little things are the big things that matter to him. And little things matter, so the question means, to us, does it really matter if I pray before I eat a meal? I don't think it does anything mighty, but it does remind us who our provider is. Is it really important that I read my Bible? Okay, sometimes that can be ultra boring, okay, but it's important because it's the only place I can get direct access to God. Does it really matter that I come to church? Well, okay, that can be boring too sometimes. All right, I'm looking on your face. You're like, okay, step up the pace here, Barry. I'm looking at the kids' faces. I know how this goes. Sometimes that can be a little bit boring because we hear the same stories over and over and over again. But you do also understand that the church is the place where we should be finding our role models, and we should be finding the people that can help us live our life the way that Jesus wants us to live. Because little things matter. And if I am unwilling to do the little things, then how can God trust me with the bigger things? Does God want your lunch money? Keep your lunch money. God's got a much bigger picture. You know what God wants? God wants all of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God doesn't want small portions. God appreciates little things. But at the end of it all, God wants all of you. You see, before David was willing to be a giant killer, he was a shepherd boy. Small things. Before Moses could part that Red Sea, he had to identify with slaves. Small things. Before Paul could preach, he had to be blinded and trained. Small things. Jesus indeed was the King of Kings, but you do understand he came as the Lamb of God. Not a small thing. A big moment. So I'd like you to remember that sometimes it's all about becoming small. It means that sometimes we seek greatness and God looks for us to be humble. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Oftentimes, we want to seek acknowledgement, somebody to tell us good job, and God is just looking for simple faith. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is the least among you who is the greatest. Sometimes we seek authority. We want to be in charge like the king. And God says, serve. Luke chapter 22, verse 26. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. The amazing thing is, this little boy is not even the star of his own story. We call this not the little boy who gave his lunch. What do we call this story from the Bible? The feeding of the 5,000. We don't even give him credit for what he did. But folks, if we just remember to focus on the little things, you know what? We can go where God says and we can be there. We can do what God says and we can be prepared. We can give God all we have, and we can do so willingly. We can depend on God to do very, very great things. The reality is, Jesus could not use the lunch until the boy offered it. Isn't that amazing? If the little boy had just kept his lunch and kept his mouth shut, he would have had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But when he decided to be there, prepared, and willing, he ends up with 12 baskets of fish and bread. And I don't know who got the leftovers. The Bible never tells us. So today, if you're here, let me encourage you, especially for our kids. Consider how you want to live your life. Are you willing to be there when God asks you to be there? Are you willing to be prepared the way God wants you to be prepared? And are you being willing to do the things God has asked you to do? And by the way, adults, remember, Jesus wants us to have childlike faith. Therefore, he wishes for us to be there when God wants us there, be prepared when God calls us to do something, and be willing to give God all that we have. And guess what? Congratulations, kids, you made it. We're to the end.